exalt you. We give you praise this morning for your goodness and for all your wonderful works in our lives. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness that is renewed every morning. And thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're about to do in this place today. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to say what the bishop said when he came to our church. He said sometimes when you're preaching and people are not hearing what you're saying, they just said, amen. And maybe you're here today and maybe I say some things you don't really, I say it in an African way. It's okay. Amen. But I believe that you're going to leave this place blessed. Yeah, I believe that. Amen. And I really want to thank the bishop for his visit to our church. It was wonderful. And the pastor's conference, the pastors are still calling me and saying thank you. It was wonderful. We are grateful for the change that it has brought, and we're looking forward to having you again. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's somebody I really want to appreciate in this house. It's my brother and his wife. Good people. Amen. I've never really done this before, but, you know, I want to let them know that they are good people. And that I appreciate everything that the Lord has used them to do in my life. I'm grateful. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last year when I came here, I spoke to you about faith. I spoke to you about the force of faith. Today, I want to bring you a word from the Lord. And my subject this morning is three dimensions of faith. Yeah, the three dimensions of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of times we struggle with faith. Struggle with faith, and sometimes you tell yourself, if I could just have more faith, maybe something will happen. And sometimes we study the Word of God and we believe that in the Word we will get some faith. Of course we'll get some faith from the Word, but sometimes when we study the Word, we try to apply to the situation, it's not working. And the question is why? You must understand that there's a thin line between belief and faith. And sometimes we stay in the realm of belief and we don't know how to make the transition from belief to faith. And it's a lot of struggle. It's a lot of struggle. You know you believe that God said this in his word. And you've been believing for the past 15 years, and 10 years, and 20 years. And it looks as if nothing is working. And sometimes you ask yourself, and sometimes you don't really know when you make the transition between belief and faith. But you see, you must be conscious. You must be very conscious to understand that understand the place of belief and understand the place of faith. See, believe is what you see in the inside of you. What do you see? What do you see? It's very important. Because what you see is what you get. Amen? That's what you get. You know, America is a great country. I love this country. I love the people here. But sometimes I look at this nation, I see people with a lot of wealth, and I see people struggling to get by. And I'm talking about Christians. But the question is why? You know, sometimes, Bishop, I don't know whether it happens in this, okay, it happens in this church. I know that because it happens in every church. That there are people that walk into the church, they take the word, the head, and change their lives. And there are people that have been in the church for the past 15 years, and they're just the same. The question is why? Because when you get too familiar with the word of God, you come to a point where it becomes, I've heard it before. And if you get to that place where you say, I've heard it before, you've stopped the growth. Amen? Hallelujah. So, believe is what you see, but faith is what you do with what you have seen. What you see. For example, let me give you a simple example. For example, I give you a check, all right? And in the check, there's a lot of money to solve your problems. And you believe that if you go to the bank, you can cash the money. You have the check, right? But you believe that you go to the bank and get the money, will not put the money in your pocket. You have to get up, go to the bank, put the check, and then get the money and put it in your pocket. Now, the work of belief does not stop until faith has obtained the desired result. I want to say it again. The work of belief does not stop until faith has obtained the desired result. Because most times we believe that this is going to go this way. And we push for a little while and it's not working, and then we'll stop. We stop right there. There is no easy way out. Doesn't exit anywhere. No easy way out. I love this country because people push themselves. I learn a lot here. Every time I come here, I see people push themselves to the extreme. But you see, pushing yourself to the extreme without a revelation is a problem. Is a problem. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, in the scriptures, you'll find out that belief is the work. The Bible said in John chapter 6 that the people came to Jesus and said, what should we do to do the work of God? And Jesus said to them, believe in him whom the Lord has sent. So, belief is actually the work. It takes inner strength, stability, to stay there believing that this thing is going to work. Amen. Faith is the fight. Receive is the rest. Can I say it again? All right. Believe is the walk. Faith is the fight. And receive is the rest. Now, you can, but between faith and believe, there's receive. I'm going to explain that. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, whatsoever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive and ye shall have it. So there is a receiving before the having. Okay? Doesn't make sense, right? How do you receive it first before you can have it? Now, if you receive the money, will you rest? If you're looking for something and you receive it, are you okay? You're cool, right? Jesus said you have to receive it first before you see it. Amen? So what do I do? The first thing I do is first believe, then receive. And when I receive, I rest. I rest. I rest. And it comes. Now, that is where the struggle is. Because most times we ask God for something, and we're pressing and pushing, and it's not coming. And then we become restless. Restless. We're struggling. Restless. And we say, God, when? Oh, Lord, when? He said, receive it. He's telling you, just receive it. Because when you receive, you bring yourself to the place where you are saying that God is too big to fail. Too big. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, like I said, faith is put in action to believe. You see, faith never really starts until something is believed. Can I say it again? Now, you know, most times we just want to have faith. Faith. That is vague. Amen? That's vague. Faith must have an object. Okay? And what is the object? The object of faith is what belief have seen. Amen? So, you have to see it. You have to see it. You have to see where it's going to be in the next 5 years. See it now. What do you see in your future? What do you see? Believe me, the next time I'm coming here, I'm coming bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, maybe in size too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first dimension of faith is revelation. I would say revelation. One more time. I like this church because it's a teaching church. I like it. I teach. That's what I do. I would say revelation. Now, Let me ask you a question. If you pick up your car and you're just driving, okay? You don't know where you're going, but you're just driving. Where will you get to? You know, you can come to Plainfield, but it's still nowhere. Right? You can go to downtown Chicago, but it's still nowhere. And somebody else will get there, and it's somewhere. All right? So, the first dimension of faith is revelation. You have to see. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the rhema of God. Not the logos of God. The rhema of God. What is the difference? The rhema is God's declaration concerning a particular situation. And the logos is the sum total of God's thoughts. That is Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, the rhema of God, the revealed word of God concerning that matter. That's how faith comes. It's not because you just believe that it's going to work, and then it means it's just going to work. Doesn't work that way. Amen? Doesn't work that way. You say, well, you know, I just believe that if I just invest, I just believe it's going to work. No, it doesn't gonna work. It doesn't work that way. A lot of people have lost their businesses, lost their finances, lost a whole lot of things, just by believing that if I take this way, it's just going to work. And you know what? If it doesn't work, they said, Lord, but I believe. And I was praying. You know, the church like to pray. All right? I like to pray and bring God. Come here, God. Where are you? Come on. God, where are you? Come here. And sit down here. He's not your boy. He's the boss. Amen? He is the one that tells us where to go. Amen? My first trip here, let me tell you something. I was so blessed the first time I came here. And I know I'm still going too blessed now. But you see, the first time I came here for the conference, I was just eating. And then I called my wife. My wife said to me, he said, what happened to your voice? I said, I don't know. These people are giving me food. But actually, before I came, I was praying. And I asked the Lord, I said, you want me to go to America? He said, so when I went to the embassy, they asked me no question. They asked me, where is your church? I know my church. I know the address. That's not a question. Maybe he wants to come to church. So I was carrying my file. I was told they would take your file, go through it, and see whether you lied. And if they are not satisfied with it, they give you back your file and they take your passport and put it. Never happened. I had the file. I want to open. They said, don't open the file.
want to bring it, don't bring it here. Say, Mr. Okori, we've granted your request. So I was confused. Right? I still have my phone. Hello? Are you still here? And I was still standing there. He said, Mr. Okori, I'm finished with you. Next. So I opened the door. I was still confused. So I went outside. I asked the people, what happened to me? They didn't give me back my passport. Wow. He said, come on, go rejoice. They've given you a visa. I said, just like that? Why? Because if he is involved, he will go before you. He will go before you. He will make a way where there is no way. So I tell people, I said, it's good for you to spend time finding out what he wants you to do. Get a hold of it and run with it. Run with it. Put all your strength. Put all your wisdom. And run with it. The problem with the church is that a lot of people are running with something they don't know what it is. And they're just running. They are just running and running and really, really, really running. Don't run that way. So your faith begins to make sense when you have a revelation. You know that, for example, let me give you one example. If God wants you to be in Ohio, right? I pronounced it well? Ohio? I got it? Thank you. Because in Africa, we call it Ohio. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's what we call it. All right? Okay. It's all right. It's all right. Just come back here. Okay. Now, God wants you to be there. And God has prepared what he wants you to have there. Okay? And you're in Plainfield. And you have a good pastor. Bishop Nolan. Good pastor. You're excited about his words. Believe me, you will not still be the best that God wants you to be. Why? You are not in the place of your assignment. You're not there. And that is the problem. In Africa, a lot of people, a lot of pastors, they run. They said, no, I just want to go to America. I just want to go live there. And some of them came here and lost their ministries. Why? Because God was not sending them here. You know, I told you last time, Bishop, that if you come to America without a vision, America will give you another vision. Hello. Amen. How many minutes do I have? All right. Okay, now, Revelation. Now, the Bible said about Abraham. Now, listen. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 11, and the Bible spoke about Terah, the father of Abraham, taking Abraham and Lot. They were going to Canaan, but when they came to Haran, they dwelt in Haran, and Terah died in Haran. In chapter 12, the Bible said God had said to Abraham. God had said to Abraham. So Abraham, even though he was going, not knowing where he was going, but God told him to go to a place where he doesn't know where it is. So he actually traveled for 1,500 miles to get to the place where God called him. And the Bible said that when he got to Canaan, he said he lived in tents. He lived in tents. Amen? Yet in Canaan, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. But I said, God, but Canaan should be the city. No. Abraham was looking for you and me. The city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. So he is the father of faith. You study the life of Abraham. Everything he did was by revelation. In this generation, we want to use education and information to replace revelation. Doesn't work. Amen? Doesn't work. They have their place. As good as education is and information is, it cannot replace revelation. And so that is the first dimension of faith. Do you have a revelation about your life? Do you know where you're going? When you get there, will you know that you've arrived? That's a question. Do you know where you're going? And when you get there, will you know that you've arrived? Amen? That's the first dimension of faith. The second dimension of faith is satisfaction. Everybody say satisfaction. Mm-hmm. That's the second dimension of faith. And this dimension is more challenging than the first. In this dimension, you live in the reality of what you hope for. Can I say it again? In this dimension, you live in the reality of what you hoped for. Let me tell you. You know, your society is wonderful. You want something, you have your credit card. Okay? You get a job, and you have a credit card, and then you just keep moving. All right? In Africa, it's cash. You don't have the cash, you don't have it. You pay for everything up front. Hello. All right. Now, in that society, it's more difficult to live in this dimension. So, how do I live in the reality of what I hope for? How do I live in that reality? How do I live there? How do I be content and happy when the thing I hope for is elusive? How do I do that? The Bible said about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, he said, be not weak in faith. He was strengthened, giving glory to God. Abraham was glorifying God for the child he's yet to get. He was not doing this. Lord, I thank you. You know, I know you're wonderful. But Lord, when? Yeah, Lord, I've been thanking you for this thing for a long time now. And are you still there? He's always there. Always there. He was there before you came. He will be there after you're gone. Always there. It is bringing the reality of the answered prayer of tomorrow into today. You bring it. You bring it. I don't know how to be angry. I tried it. It's true. I tried it. I tried to be really angry. I want to be angry about things, but I've lost it. And I don't know when I lost it. But I do. Why? Because I found out that underneath is the aims of the Almighty God. He will never fail. He's not a man that he will lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? So, if I'm going to stay in this dimension, I got to have some joy. Now, joy is not a result of happenings. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? It's different from happiness. So it's the fruit of the Spirit. So what do? I store up the gift of God in me. Have joy. The Bible said, count it all joy when ye go through diverse tests, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its perfect and complete work, so that you will be complete and lacking nothing. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 said, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. With joy. So joy is a container to go into the wells of salvation and draw water. You want healing? You need joy. You want prosperity? You need joy. Whatever you need, joy will give it to you. Everybody say with joy. One more time, say with joy. Are you a joyful person? Are you a joyful person? Have you lost your joy because of the things you see around you? Listen, learn to appreciate where you are. I want to say it again. Because that is what affects the joy of a lot of people. They don't appreciate where they are. They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate it. They always want something that somebody else has. Always. I don't like this shoe. I don't like this jacket. I don't like it. Look at what Brother John is wearing. Man. Hallelujah. Learn to appreciate where you are and be content with such things that he has. For he has said, I will not leave you, not forsake you. So you can, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let me tell you something. When I started ministry about 15 years ago, it was a little church. And my allowance for a week was $10. Somebody said, how can you survive with $10? Every week, $10. And then I met my fiancé. Now I gotta split the money. I have to split the money. Yeah, because I have to be a good guy. It's funny, right? But let me tell you something. You can live with what you have. You can. You can. In every point in your life, God has made the provision. Appreciate what God has given you. Be grateful for the little things that God does in your life. He will do the big ones. He will. He's a faithful God. He will. Amen. So, everybody says satisfaction. You have to be satisfied. You say, well, I've asked for it. I asked God to do this. And I asked him to do this. And I've not seen anything yet. Listen. He's doing something about it. He is. That you've seen nothing doesn't mean that God is doing nothing. No. He's doing something. He's always doing something. And the truth is that he has done something already. And sometimes the problem is you need to grow into it. You need to grow into it. Amen? Can I ask you a question? If you have a 10-year-old and he said to you, he said, Daddy, I want to go visit my friend. Can I have the keys of the car? What are you going to do? Give it to him? Okay. What if in your will, the car belongs to him? Will you give it to him? He has to wait, right? And sometimes there are things you're asking God for You don't have the maturity to handle it. You don't have it. And God is waiting. And you think you are the one waiting. No, he's the one waiting for you. Hello? And somebody said, I'm waiting for the Lord. Lord, we are waiting on you. God said, I'm waiting for you. Amen? Now, when you study the scriptures, you find that every time God wants to talk to somebody, especially the prophet, he said, come up here. He said, come up here. Everybody said, come up here. Let me tell you something. God will always bring you to his level. He wants you to come up there so that you can see from his dimension. He wants you to see the way he sees things. Amen? You know, I used to tell people in our church, I see young people, they look very humble, humble, humble people. I said, wow. And, but I said to them, I said, God put money in your hands. What are you going to do? One of them, God blessed him. God really blessed him. Really blessed him. And he stopped coming to church. He got so busy. He bought a Hummer. Now he's Hummer. It's big. So, and he's humming. Good. And then he used to handle the video session in the church. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that he's going to do something extraordinary. I never knew it was going to be that big. And if I knew he was going to run away, I would have reduced it. So I called him. I said, come on, come here. He came. And I tried to be angry. I couldn't. That's the problem with me. All right. So I called him. I said, come in. I said, what's the problem? He said, oh, Pastor, I'm busy. I said, all right. You're busy? But what about what you do for the Lord? Pastor, I'm just busy. I said, okay. But you know the sad thing? He's losing those things. Why? Because, let me tell you something. That there is a grace that feeds you. You must understand that life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. And not everybody knows that life is spiritual. Somebody thinks, oh, I got my money. I do what I like, when I want, how I like. Nobody tells me nothing. I say, hello. Pastor, how are you? Are you still there? As I'm still there. Praise the Lord. You know what? There are people that cannot handle greatness. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. Look, sometimes you think you're very humble. Wait until the Lord puts some real money in your hands. Then we'll know whether you're truly humble. You know, there's this thing about lack and humility. All right? Lack is going to force you to be humble. And that is why the church was preaching poverty. Because they don't know how to make the transition from poverty to wealth and still stay humble. So they told the people, poverty is holiness.
It's from the devil. It's from the devil. It's not from God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, be satisfied with where you are. Be joyful. I love what the sister you brought in. You said, are the French? Their name sounds French to me. The sister you brought, you said she's always smiling. And all of a sudden, she's... Huh? Michelle, the French something. Huh? Catherine. All right. Thank you. But she's always smiling. That's what I'm saying. All right? Always smiling. The state of your heart will be seen on your face. You can hide it for a while, but it's going to show on your face. Amen? And the third dimension is wait until the answer comes. That's the third dimension. You wait until the answer comes. Waiting time is not wasted time. And you must understand that all of the promises of God have patience as their platform to rest upon. Wherever there is no patience, the promise of God cannot rest upon. Patience carries the promises of God. Patience carries the promises of God. People want it right now. God, now or nothing. You know, we've been taught that faith is now. So some people misunderstand what that really means. It actually means you live in the now of what you want. That's what it is. It doesn't mean if you don't get it now, it's no longer faith. No. You live in the now of what you're looking for. Amen? So the Bible says, let's read just something. Let's read something and then we're going to pray. In Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 11 to 13. I'll read from the International Standard Version. Hear what it says. But we want to teach you, we want each of you to continue to be diligent to the very end in order to give full assurance to your hope. Then, instead of being lazy, you will imitate those who are inheriting the promises. Now, listen. It said, those who are inheriting the promises through faith and patience. For God made his promises to Abraham. He swore an oath by himself, since he had no one greater to swear by. Praise the Lord. Are you a patient person? Are you patient? Can you wait? Can you just wait for a little while? For a little longer? Can you? Can you wait? Believe me, if you wait, you will see the reality of what you're asking God for. Amen.